Incidentally, we said there ought to be a law for that. Not surprisingly, a lot of these have to do with phones. John, when you get in your parked car, you have to leave immediately. Don't sit there for 10 minutes looking at your phone messages. I need that parking space. 847, it should be illegal as a pedestrian to cross a street staring at your phone. 773 said, no cell phones allowed in the gym. I think cell phones aren't allowed in the gym. 216, you will be fined for wearing a backpack on a crowded train. Yeah, forget sitting next to it. If you're wearing it, you're like another person behind you. Stop that. Austin, you want to play along? This should be a law?
Man, I can do the opposite version, where it's laws that should be repealed. But okay, we maybe with Madigan, we can have a, this should be a law. Here's a law that should be a law in Illinois. State lawmakers, if they have a conflict of interest, it should be mandatory that they recuse themselves from the vote. That's very easy. For some reason, it's not a law. It needs to be a law.
Sometimes they will, but they've so set the stage that it's like they're still in the room. But I would even take what you just suggested. That's Austin Berg, the executive director of the Chicago Policy Center and the vice president of marketing at the Illinois Policy Institute. Check out his Substack. It's new, The Last Ward. Austin, of course, is a member of the Mincing Rascals podcast and has chronicled the career and travails of one Mike Madigan for years now. Say I just came from California. I don't know who Mike Madigan is. Who's Mike Madigan, Austin?
Mike Madigan was the last real machine boss in American history. He was Speaker of the Illinois House for 34 of 36 years. He served in Springfield as a state lawmaker for more than 50 years. And his legacy is one of a state where people have the lowest trust in state government than residents of any other state. And when he came into office as Speaker, the state had a AAA credit rating, top of the nation. And when he left office as Speaker, it had the worst credit rating in the nation. So those are just a couple bits of his legacy.
So those are the legacies of the various governors, too, right? Are you putting that on Mike Madigan?
Well, he was in power with the most power for the longest. But, of course, that it doesn't mean he was the only person who was acting poorly in Illinois government. In fact, he's being sentenced today, and if he is sentenced to a number of years in federal prison, he will not be lonely there. There's been 2,300 Illinois public officials convicted of corruption between 1983 and 2023, which is a stunning number. It's about more than one a week public official convicted of corruption in Illinois. So he's far from the only one.
I haven't heard that number before. 2,300. Are you sure about that?
2,300 Illinois public officials between 1983 and 2023. So, yeah, more than one a week, which is simply stunning. Now, of course, you know, John, on your show, you're not doing a new announcement of one person every week, right? But there's often, you know, large batches of these sort of corruption cases where many people are indicted. And, you know, you look at Chicago City Council, for example, there's been 40 aldermen convicted of corruption since the 70s, which is pretty stunning.
2,300, but albeit 42 years.
40, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a lot, but yeah, hey, that is a long period of time. Anyway, you slice it, though, the state is really an outlier on this, on the problem of political corruption.
Yeah, right. Well, but he has been found guilty on 8 counts of fraud. And what was the worst of the crimes? Or put it this way, what was the worst of the actions? What was the thing that I think would really cause people to say, yeah, this guy ought to go to jail?
I think it was ruling over a system in which one person controlled whether a bill lived or died. And in doing that, it inevitably produced instances of corruption. And really what's being alleged in this case, or what was found in this case, was that ComEd was doing favors for Madigan allies and associates with the explicit goal of passing or killing legislation. And, you know, this happened to be things like jobs for associates, a lot of ghost payroll positions, things of this nature. And I really think the ComEd case was just the tip of the iceberg in that. I think it was a case that was brought where you had a very large publicly traded company. You had, you know, folks from that company who were also convicted before Madigan was, and just billions of dollars worth of legislative action to kind of dive into. But this was sort of the culture under Madigan on all sorts of different issues, not just just ComEd.
But that sounds rather bland to me. 12 years for an 83-year-old who, if he, you know, we don't have him with a gun robbing a bank. We don't have a suitcase full of money being handed to him. We don't have him selling out a children's hospital. It just strikes me as mundane isn't the right word, but, you know, this culture of corruption is vague. You know what I mean? It's remarkable to me that this guy's facing 12 years after all of this.
He's not being convicted for a culture of corruption. I mean, to be very specific, he's being convicted on racketeering charges because he is taking political action based on, you know, personal benefit. And I can't say whether 12 years is the correct sentence, if it's too harsh or not harsh enough. I should just say that I think it's extremely important that folks recognize the harm that's done to, and the amount of harm that's done by a public official with this level of authority acting in a corrupt manner, because it doesn't just affect, you know, the folks at ComEd or, you know, state lawmakers. It affects every single person who pays an electricity bill. There's enormous economic consequences of corruption in Illinois. We estimate it costs the state economy around $550 million annually, the public corruption convictions in Illinois. It's an enormous cost. It affects people who rely on social services, where money is being sent to more politically connected actors instead of people who truly need it. It has really severe effects.
Yeah.
Now, that said, John, a federal corruption conviction of Mike Madigan will not solve Illinois' corruption problem at all. I've often told you if federal corruption convictions solved our corruption problem, we would be the least corrupt state in the country, but we're not. You actually need to implement reforms at the state level to fix this problem, not just convict people and throw them behind bars.
Yeah. Why didn't you want to play the over-under game with us yesterday?
Well, I feel, and you're referring to, of course, what, you know, is it over-under? Is it going to be more than 12 years or less than 12 years?
No. But I set the line at 3.5, and you didn't play.
You said 3.5. No, I feel... because it's a person who, you know, I have a lot of opinions about Mike Madigan, but at the end of the day, he is still a human being who has a family. And I just thought it was inappropriate for me to comment on how, you know, whether I think it's going to be over under, although I did give a piece of information to our friend Eric Zorn, which maybe people could use to inform their own bets on this, which is that Sheldon Silver, the former Assembly Speaker of New York, sort of the Madigan of New York, who is also convicted on corruption charges, he got 6.5 years in his corruption case. And he was a much younger man than Madigan, however. I believe he was in his early 70s at the time, and he actually passed away in prison at 78.
One last thing about this. You said that this corruption tax that we pay, and I was saying, you know, where is the harm, where is the crime? But the backside of that is that business would then be filtered to Madigan's law firm, right? So there was the personal benefit for him, and I don't know that we mentioned that in this conversation. And I appreciate your sensitivity to the personal tragedy that this is for the Madigan family, for the people that he helped and have liked him over the years, appreciated his help, or just the very fact that we're all suffering, if it's in minute ways that we don't always appreciate every day. So we'll see what the sentence is going to be later on, and we'll talk to you, I hope, soon on the Mincing Rascals podcast. Did you have a nice trip, Austin?
Had a fantastic trip. We look forward to filling you all in.
Okay, we'll do that another day. That's Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute, and you can check out his Substack, The Last Ward.